Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris. This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Hello and welcome to the last show before the election. Yeah, we've got a lot to get to tonight. Let's start right here at the chalkboard and do the 2024 presidential election. This is something we do every single time before a presidential election. We take all our states, we move them out of the swing state areas, and we sit back and watch as our predictions come exactly true. Actually, last year, our last election, 2020, we did get the electoral count exactly right, 306 to 232. We hope to replicate that tonight. Or do we? Because who knows? So the outcome, as Glenn has said many times, it's like waiting for a cancer diagnosis. I am really, really ready for this freaking election to be over. I got to tell you, this is not my hellish time of the year, but my hellish time of 4 years. This sucks. Even though I love doing it at some level, it's also really, really stressful and a lot of work. I'm ready for that to be over. However, if the answer's bad, you know, it's like getting a bad answer on the cancer diagnosis. Maybe I could have waited another week to actually hear what the answer was. So we're going to go through the entire board right now. We also have the entire Senate we're going to go through right now as well. So we're going to start with the states that are going to be solid Democratic states as far as our predictions go. These are states that are going to be pretty much blowouts. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them. We're going to go with Maine Congressional District 1 for one electoral vote. We've got, I already hit somebody. We've got Delaware for three. Electoral votes. We've got Washington, D.C.'s got three. Oh, we got one on there. We've got Vermont with three. Oh, got it caught again. Hawaii with four. I'm way too low. Rhode Island with four electoral votes. Connecticut with seven. These are for the Democrats. Solid Democrat. Oregon with eight. Maryland with 10 electoral votes. Massachusetts with 11 electoral votes. Washington with 12 electoral votes. Illinois, 19 electoral votes. New York, 28 electoral votes. And a lot of people are like, well, I think Donald Trump's going to win New York. I don't think he's going to win New York. I'm not even going to put it in the likely category. I'm putting it in the solid category. If I'm wrong, I'll be very excited. And California, 54 big electoral votes. Okay, that gets you to 167 solid Democratic electoral votes. 167. Now, you may remember the rules of our little game here, which is you need 270 electoral votes to become president of the United States. In most circumstances, there are some exceptions to that, but a little too complicated for us to bother getting into. So let's go with the Republicans. Republicans got a bunch of states as well that they should win nice and easily. And when I say states, it's not always states. It's also Nebraska Congressional District 1. Now, they split up their congressional districts, get electoral votes split up like that. Nebraska Congressional District 3 as well is in the category. Nebraska as a state, two electoral votes. Oh, I hit another person. Wyoming, three electoral votes. Nice and easy. South Dakota, three electoral votes. North Dakota, three electoral votes. Idaho, four electoral votes. West Virginia, four electoral votes. A lot of small states here for the Republicans. Utah, six electoral votes. Ooh, that was a terrible one. Mississippi, six electoral votes. Arkansas, six electoral votes. Oklahoma, seven electoral votes. Louisiana, eight electoral votes. Kentucky, nine electoral votes. Alabama, nine electoral votes. Ooh, that one went over. Indiana, 11 electoral votes. Oh, got one. And Tennessee with 11. We had an over-under how many I get caught up there. It was six. I think I landed four. So under was the winner, if you happen to be betting on that. Okay, so that gets you to what? A lot of states, a lot of names, a lot of cards I got to throw there, but only 93 solid electoral votes for the Republicans. And this is, you know, not, you'd like to start in a better position, I suppose, than this. Here we go. 167 for the Democrats, 93 for the Republicans when it comes to solid electoral votes. Of course, we have other categories here. We break it down by likely Democrat, lean Democrat, toss up, lean Republican, likely Republican. So let's go to our next category, which is going to be likely Democratic states. Now, Democrats have a bunch here as well. And this is where we're going to start putting them on the board. I'll stop throwing them at you at home. We're going to start with Maine. Maine gives two electoral votes to the overall state winner. And the Democrats likely to win those two. We also have 10 for the state of Colorado. Colorado used to be kind of a purplish state. You know, back in the Bush era, it's not anymore. It really isn't. In fact, there's really no polling showing the thing anywhere near close. So 10 for the Democrats there. Minnesota, 10 electoral votes. Now, you could squint and say this should be over in the lean Democratic category. And frankly, I've never missed a state in the likely or the solid category before. Never in the entire history of doing this. Going back election, many, many elections, many, many midterm elections, never missed one over here. I want this one to be the first one I miss. Why? Because I really want Tim Walz to lose his home state. That would be my favorite. In fact, Donald Trump could lose all the other states as long as, no, I'm not going to go that quite that far, but I would really, really enjoy it if Tim Walz lost his home state. I don't think he's going to. We're going to put it in the likely anyway to tempt fate because I want it to happen so badly. Okay, finally, New Jersey, 14 electoral votes, likely going to the Democrats. Pretty much everything's been in double digits. There's usually one poll that shows like, wait a minute, Republicans are only down 3 in New Jersey. I haven't even seen that poll this year, so I don't think that's going to happen. I do expect a pretty easy victory for the Democrats here. So you've got 36 here, 36 likely Democratic electoral votes. Okay, let's go over to the Republican side. We've got some likely Republican states, and we will start with Montana. Montana has a Senate race that's going to be a lot more interesting than its presidential race. We'll get into that here in a little bit when we get to the Senate board. Well, I'm actually on the wrong side. I'm on the Senate board now. No one even corrected this. I'm on the wrong side. I guess it doesn't really matter. The other one just says Biden and Harris on it instead of Republicans and Democrats. But I am on the wrong side of the chalkboard. Okay, next up, Kansas. Kansas with 6 electoral votes. Some Democrats have this kind of like fantasy that they're going to be competitive in Kansas. It's not completely impossible, I guess, because sometimes Kansas has some weird results, and they like the fact that they won the Dobbs, the ballot initiative on abortion a couple years ago. They're excited about that, so they think it could be close. There's a couple states that kind of show it close, but I'm not too worried about that one. South Carolina, 9 electoral votes for the Republicans. Missouri, again, used to be a swing state, not really anymore. Missouri, 10 electoral votes to the Republicans. And Ohio, 17 electoral votes. You know, Ohio has been in the high single digits in that general vicinity. Sort of, I would say a little bit stronger than Minnesota on the opposite side when it comes to vice presidential states. But again, Vance on the ticket. I think there's a good chance that Ohio goes to the Republicans. That gives them 46 likely electoral votes. As you can see, though, the Republicans still pretty far behind here. Let's go to the next category, which is going to be leaning Democratic states. These are states that they're not sure, they're not really even likely. They're more in that situation of, okay, it's a leaner. We're not going to put it in the toss-up category. We're not like completely flummoxed by these, but it does seem like they're going to go one way or the other, but just leaning for now. We'll call that Nebraska, Congressional District 2. That gives you 1 electoral vote. New Hampshire, with 4, I will say there are some Republicans who think they can pick New Hampshire off. The polling's been close. You're seeing visits by people like J.D. Vance to New Hampshire this late in the election. Why are they doing that? They're seeing things that are in a wave sort of election where things really go right for Donald Trump. You're going to see New Hampshire be really competitive. There's also a very competitive gubernatorial race there. It's kind of the only interesting one in the country, to be honest with you. So that could bring out a really interesting crowd there as well. New Mexico, 5 electoral votes. New Mexico, is closer for the Republican or for the Democrats than they would like it to be. Now, you're seeing stuff in the mid to high single digits. You're seeing some even around 4 or 5 points, a couple polls. I still think New Mexico is pretty safe for the Democrats, but it is definitely closer. And this used to be, if you remember back to the 2000 election, this was actually the, you know, incredibly close state. It might have been the closest state in the entire election. Remember, Florida was like 537 votes. I think it was New Mexico that was like 200 and something votes for the whole state. It just wouldn't have turned the tide of the election, so people don't really remember it, but it was a very, very close race. And then finally, another one that the Republicans really want. And every time I talk to people, they're like, well, got to watch this one, got to watch this one. What about this? What about this? This is the one. Virginia, 13. If you're talking about a race where Donald Trump wins by surprising, overwhelming force, we're like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. We look back and say, we all thought it was going to be really close, and he really blew him out. A major polling error in Donald Trump's favor, whatever that is, you're going to start seeing right in here is where you're going to see that movement. New Hampshire, New Mexico, Virginia, these three states, and maybe Nebraska, although that one I think is going to maybe a little bit more of a reach. So that's going to get a total of 23 electoral votes for the Democrats if we count all the leaners. And we will, by the way, put every single thing in a category. We're not going to leave you hanging with a bunch of toss-ups, but we're going to get this whole board set up for you first. Now, we're going to go over to the Republican leaners. First of all, we have a congressional district to kind of even out that Nebraska one. We go with Maine Congressional District 2. That one is likely going to be the only congressional or the only electoral vote coming from Maine for the Republicans. We also have Alaska. Alaska is a weird state. Sometimes they do very weird things in Alaska. It's notoriously difficult to poll because everybody has 347 miles of ice in between each other. So it's hard to get in touch with them. There has just not been a lot of good polling. It's hard to poll anyway in Alaska, and there has not been a lot of polling of the state. There's been some weirdness in Alaska, so we're going to keep that one in the leaning category. We also have Iowa, and we're going to take a minute to talk about Iowa here because of what you may have seen this weekend. Iowa is a state that that was very, very close. If you go back to the Obama era, he won Iowa. It was became a really looking like a state that looked like it was going to go to the right. In fact, Donald Trump won it and outdid the polls by a lot there. Since then, it seemingly has moved considerably right. It's been a much more red state than it had previously been thought of. Now, this weekend, Ann Selzer, who's kind of like the queen of polling in Iowa to all the polling nerds, she came out with her last poll. Now, her previous poll had Donald Trump only up by 4 in Iowa, which was a major deal, like at the time. That was a big story because Donald Trump's supposed to win Iowa by like 8 or 9. A lot of the other polls are showing 8, 9, 10 points. Okay, that's a little bit strange. Her final poll before the election, shockingly, had Kamala Harris up by 3 points in Iowa. I mentioned over here, if Donald Trump wins in a landslide, you're going to see stuff like Virginia, New Mexico, New Hampshire be very competitive or fall for Donald Trump. The same thing is over here. If Iowa is going to Kamala Harris by 3 points, she's not only the next president of the United States, she's the next president of the United States in a landslide. But does it make any sense? I mean, she is a very highly respected pollster, at least in the state. A lot of people are kind of like, freaking out over this. Let me give you a couple pieces of evidence as to why I'm not as worried as some others are. First of all, Giancarlo Sopo, who's a good guy, he's been on the show many times, has very well connected politically. He tweeted this, "Source, tonight I spoke with a senior Republican strategist known for accurate polling in Iowa, who shared private data showing President Trump up at 5 in the state. I trust this source." Now, Giancarlo is not going to make this up. He's definitely talking to somebody. If he trusts him, it's probably a pretty good pollster. That being said, I'm not super duper feeling good about that. If the pushback to the Selzer poll is only that Trump is up 5 in Iowa, that's really concerning because if Trump wins Iowa by 5, there's a good chance he loses this election. Remember, you know, you're talking about there could be similarities to other states, obviously blue wall states, which we'll get to in a little bit. The thing is, if it's only 5, I'd be very worried. However, how could it possibly be only 5? Let me give you for a second. These are now Ryan Gruduski came on our show the other day to talk about his getting thrown off of CNN. But he went through the crosstabs. Let me just show you what he highlighted. This is read through the Selzer crosstabs, and it's just straight crazy. Here's Selzer versus the 2020 exits. Overall, she has a Democrat plus three electorate in Iowa. In 2020, it was Republican plus eight. Senior women, Democrats plus 35. It was only Democrats plus six. In 2020. Senior men, Republicans only plus two. They won by 32. And on and on and on and on. You look at every single one of these categories, they are wildly different. Now, that does happen from time to time. Sometimes there are realignments. Sometimes people move around and they don't stay in their exact categories. That's not insane to think. And it does sometimes happen. That's why you can't unskew the polls every single time. That being said, those are really strange results, really strange results. Now, Selzer's known for releasing sort of outlier polls. Understandable from a polling nerd perspective, they just like the process, right? Like they like the fact that she'll be honest, even if she gets crazy poll results, she'll release them. That being said, it's hard to believe. Now, this went around on the internet. This is, it's going to be hard for you to read. I won't bother you with every one of these details by any means, but this is every single county in the state of Iowa, every single county. And what you'll see if you zoomed in and saw every single one of those at the end of the day is every single county in the state moved Republican in the last 4 years, as far as registration goes, every single county. Now, how would it go from a plus 10 type state for Donald Trump in 2020, an election he lost and was polling much worse in, to with all these added people on the Republican side, how could he be going backwards? And this is the one maybe that's most persuasive to me. 2022, there were elections. This is after Dobbs, right? The very, very pro-life governor of the state, Kim Reynolds, she won the state by 23 points or almost 20 points, 19 points. And Chuck Grassley, the Republican senator, won by 13 points. This is in 2022. A good year for Democrats overall. How could this have fallen apart between 2022 and 2024 to the point that Trump would lose the state? I don't know. It's not impossible, of course. We allow for these things. It's why we have them in a lean category. They used to be over in likely. We've moved them over to lean because of this poll. But man, I don't know. I'm pretty darn skeptical of it. Anyway, is that it? No, we have more. Okay, Florida is also over there. Florida is a state that, look, I think everyone got really comfortable with Florida being a red state because Ron DeSantis was winning it by so much. The polling is a lot closer than you'd say is comfortable for Republicans in this particular cycle. Still think it goes to Republicans, but we're putting it as a leaner. And shockingly, also I'll put Texas as a leaner over here on the Republican side. 40 electoral votes there. So this is where really you see Republicans, Republicans kind of make up the difference here. They catch up a little bit and they end up with, in the leaning category, 80 electoral votes. Okay, so that gets us to the toss-up category. And I think I'm going to give you this toss-up category, and we're going to go through it, and then I'm going to take a quick break. Because this is actually the honest thing. From here on out, this is honest. I could tell you that I'm going to nail this again like it happened in 2020. I could tell you that. But I think the actual truth here, I'm going to be honest with you on this. Everything from this point forward, okay? I don't know. I really don't know. This is an election that is incredibly close. It could go a million different ways. I started this thing, I flip-flopped on multiple states as I was putting the magnets on the chalkboard. That's a terrible sign. Every time I do that, I'm wrong. But I did it anyway. I don't know why. I can't really explain it. But I will walk you through whatever explanation I have here in a little bit to try to get us all through this thing together. And I'll give you a final prediction on the presidential race coming up in just a couple minutes. So what's the most exciting thing about Black Friday and Cyber Monday? It's usually just getting one of those amazing deals that you wouldn't normally get. Now, with Raycon, you already get amazing deals every single day of the year, but that doesn't mean they aren't also having an amazing sale on top of that for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, because you know what? They are. They're actually doubling down on their amazing value by offering viewers of this particular program up to 30% off site-wide. You happen to be one of them, or maybe you're listening. Either way, you still get the deals. Whether you're looking for a pair of everyday earbuds, which I love, the low-latency gaming headphones, or a speaker with a battery that will last all night at your next party, Raycon has got you covered. And here's the kicker. Raycon start like half the price of premium other premium audio brands, so you don't have to even like choose between products. You can get one of each. You can get a pair and a spare and still pay less than you would with some of the other guys. And the quality is out of this world. You'll love your Raycons. I love mine. It's time to save big for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Go to buyraycon.com/stew, BUYRAYCON.com/stew. Get up to 30% off everything on Raycon's website right now. Buyraycon.com/stew, BUYRAYCON.com/stew. Okay, we're back with the final part of the election chalkboard for the presidential side, and we have a bunch of swing states. Let's put them up there. You're probably familiar with these names by now. Georgia with 16 electoral votes. North Carolina, 16 electoral votes. Arizona, 11 electoral votes. Nevada, 6 electoral votes. Michigan, 15 electoral votes. Wisconsin, 10 electoral votes, and of course, the big boy, Pennsylvania, with 19 electoral votes. What does that mean? Well, we have 93 electoral votes we've been keeping in this toss-up category this entire time. And this is where the decision and the presidential election gets made. Let's go through them. We're going to start off with Georgia. Now, Georgia, it was very, very close, if you remember. You might remember this from 2020. Very, very close. There's a lot going on in Georgia. Any of these states could go either way, but I've got a gun to my head here. It's time to make last minute predictions. Let's see how this goes. We're going to give Georgia and the 16 electoral votes over to Donald Trump. He's got a slight but consistent polling lead there. The fundamentals of the state, I still think, lean a little bit red. I went through the 2022 House vote there, favors Republicans. They put Kemp in office as well. I still think this is, by the slightest margin, still a red state, and it's one of the clearer ones when it comes to polling, though it's going to be close. So I give Georgia 16 electoral votes over to Donald Trump. North Carolina, 16 electoral votes. We take those and we give them to Donald Trump. Trump wins North Carolina with 16. Again, same situation roughly as Georgia. It's a very close state. It could go either way. If these two went opposite directions, I wouldn't be shocked. But I think Donald Trump, again, with a small but persistent lead in the polls, holds on to North Carolina in very, very close margin. Maybe if there's a polling difference between these, if there's anything you can suss out of all these seven swing states, probably the clearest thing we've seen is Arizona going to Donald Trump. 11 electoral votes go to Trump. This is a persistent 2 or 3 point lead. You do have that a larger Hispanic population that seems to be moving a little bit toward Donald Trump. That is significant there. It's still a traditional red state. In 2020, you think about really kind of the worst case situation for a Republican running for office in Arizona with, obviously COVID going on and all that other stuff. So a slight loss there in 2016. All these go to Donald Trump. Next up, we have Nevada. This is one of these states I went back and forth on multiple times. My initial thought on this was, look, Donald Trump, when Biden was running, Trump's outlier polling, like if you were to look at all the swing states and say which one looks better for Donald Trump than you would see in any other state, I would have gone with Nevada. When Biden was in there, his polling was incredible in Nevada. Also, the no tax on tips thing. I mean, it's kind of like one of the most famous proposals of this campaign. You'd think in Nevada, I'm convincing myself the other way again. You think in Nevada, it probably goes and maybe moves enough people to go to Donald Trump. The Senate race is still quirky there, and I'm nervous about it on the Republican side. I went back and forth on this like 10 times, I'll be honest with you. And I wound up going with Kamala Harris winning Nevada with 6 electoral votes.
Okay. I know everyone loves that. They love when I pick Kamala Harris on these states. Okay, next up, Michigan. Michigan, 15 electoral votes, obviously big blue wall state. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, a very, very close election. Michigan has been a state where, you know, one of the things that makes me nervous about Michigan is there have been a decent amount of election law changes leading up to this race, obviously by Democrats, a lot of persistent hardcore push by unions and such in Michigan. And I will say another big factor for me in this particular state was the appearance of RFK Jr. RFK Jr., obviously a Trump supporter now, could not get his name off the ballot there. Some polls are showing him getting like 3% of the vote still, even though he doesn't want to be in the race. We're going to give these 15 electoral votes over to Kamala Harris. All right, we are down to the nitty-gritty here. Next up, Wisconsin. Wisconsin is another state where RFK Jr. is on. I went back and forth on this one multiple times. I literally, as I'm standing here about to place this, I'm regretting my decision. Because I'm now worried about it even more. Here's what kind of won me over. And let me give you this stat. You guys got the one day to election in history RCP chart. If you happen to have that, you can pull it up. But if you look at all these states, you see a polling error moving toward Donald Trump in a lot of them. You see in Nevada, you know, Biden was favored by 3.3. Trump is now favored by one. You look at Pennsylvania. Biden and Clinton were both, you know, 2 point favorites, and Trump now a 0.3% favorite, according to Real Clear Politics. Michigan, you see, you know, Clinton 3 and 4 points and 5 points up, with Biden 5 points up. Harris only up by 1.2. We've seen misses in all these states. And what I remember about 2020 and 2016 was they just could not get Wisconsin right. Part of the reason why you think Donald Trump might win this race is that the polling error goes the same way. It's not a guarantee. They've definitely tried to solve the problems with previous cycles. But at the end of the day, they missed so badly in Wisconsin twice by 6, 7, 8 points that I just don't think they're going to be able to nail this. They're showing the polling really, really close. I've decided to put Wisconsin in the category of Donald Trump with the 10 electoral votes. Finally, Pennsylvania, the big ticket item. We all know Pennsylvania. Everyone's been talking about Pennsylvania the entire time. It's the big swing state. It's the state that's going to make the difference. Again, really, really close. What's that? What did the chart say? Pennsylvania, Donald Trump favored by 0.3 points. Now, both times previous elections, again, there was a moderate, actually kind of a normal polling error, maybe a little bit better than normal in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's polls didn't miss by as much as we kind of remember because of the drama of the state. Maybe we'll go into this a little bit later if we have time. But Pennsylvania is one of those states that it will look like on election night, Donald Trump takes a big lead and then the Democrat starts picking up from behind. And you might say, well, that's, you know, maybe the election's being stolen. And who knows? I mean, I don't have, you know, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But what I will say is that is what you should expect because of the way they count their votes. You should expect the reverse in Arizona. Arizona, it should look like Donald Trump is down at the beginning and then he catches up. These are quirks in the election system to remember. But at the end, Pennsylvania, a state that is a really tough one, honestly, to pick. I've decided to put Donald Trump in control of those 19 electoral votes. Now, that will, of course, change our math here a little bit, as instead of 23 electoral votes leaning Democrat, we now have 44 leaning Democrat. And instead of 80 electoral votes leaning Republican, we now have 152 leaning Republican. So where do we go? What's the, oh, by the way, there's now, you know, none in the toss-up category because you forced me to do that. Okay, so none in the category. What does this mean for the final count? The final count, Kamala Harris, 247 electoral votes. Donald Trump, 290 one electoral votes. All of that to say that the official prediction of the Studios America program, with incredibly limited confidence, is Donald Trump 291 to Kamala Harris 247. Donald Trump becomes the second president in history to have a presidential term, take one off, and then get the gig back. Donald Trump, your next president of the United States. We'll look at the Senate next.
What's your prediction? Shoulder shrug emoji. Okay, anytime in life that you have, you gotta make a big change. It's hard to do it. And it's like hard to push your way through that entire process. When you're talking about buying or selling a home, it gets really, really hard because you're talking about like your biggest financial transaction, maybe in your entire life. The stakes are as high as they will ever get in terms of financial decisions. So what do you do? Well, you need to get a real estate agent that can help you with all of this. You want someone who's going to know what repairs to do, someone who knows the market, someone who's the best-selling agent in your area. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com pairs you with that person. They can find it for you. You don't have to do all the homework. You don't have to do all the screening. They handle all of that. So if you're buying or selling a home, no matter what you're doing, go to realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there, set it up, get the best agent in your area. It's a free service to you. Why not take advantage of it? Realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, let's do the Senate. And the Senate is, you know, people are talking about Republicans winning the Senate. They should win the Senate. I think we'll show you that they should win the Senate, but will they win the Senate? Of course, Republicans are very good at blowing situations like this. Why? Well, there's a bunch of elections that aren't occurring. There's a bunch of seats that are locked in already, and those overwhelmingly favor the Republicans. Right now, 28 seats for the Democrats that are not up for election. Solid Republicans locked in, 38. So they're up by 10 to start this exercise. You'd think this is going to be easy. And it should be, but not necessarily. So let's go over first for the likely Democratic seats. These are pretty much locked up, honestly. I feel pretty confident here. You got California. Ugh, Adam Schiff's going to be a senator. Delaware, Connecticut, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Klobuchar, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont is Bernie Sanders, and Washington as well, going to the Democrats. So that gives you 10 of these safe, you call them likely Democratic seats, that gets you to a total of 38 total electoral votes. Over on the other side for solid or likely Republican seats in the Senate, Nebraska, there's two elections in Nebraska this time. Nebraska, we'll call it Nebraska 1, that's the Ricketts election. Then you've got Wyoming, Mississippi, North Dakota, West Virginia, Utah, Indiana, and Tennessee. 8 of them there likely to go to the Republicans. And so they're up to 46 already, right? So right now we got, this is kind of where you set the scene here. And this is where the election sort of begins. It is 46 for the Republicans and 38 for the Democrats. So you can see pretty quickly, they only need 5 more to get the Senate, but we'll see if we can get them there. Over to the Democratic side, and we've got some leaners on the Democratic side, races that are, you know, theoretically kind of close, but still looking to go one direction. We'll start off with New Jersey. New Jersey probably going to stay comfortably with the Democrats, but you know, so there's fringes of hope there for some Republicans. New Mexico is another one. Again, this one's been low double digits, high single digits for a while. Don't see that there's, I think there's a better chance for Trump to win New Mexico, honestly, than the Senate race to go Republicans way. Virginia is another. Same sort of thing, Tim Kaine, who oddly made an appearance. Was he on Saturday Night Live? Did that actually happen, or did I have a fever dream? Doesn't seem like something that could possibly happen. But anyway, he wound up showing up, getting a lot of fun airtime there, right, in a roughly close election. Then you got Maine. This is Angus King. He's an independent. Again, he's up probably by 10 or 12 points here. Don't think there's any real risk of him losing the state, but we have that in the leaning category. And then Maryland is probably the most interesting one. This is Larry Hogan. He is the former very popular governor of the state of Maryland as a Republican, decided to jump into this race. Really the only chance Republicans had at all to be competitive in this race. And he did jump in, but it's probably down by 8 or 9 points. So probably not going to get there, unfortunately, for Mr. Hogan. That's 5 seats leaning toward the Democratic side. Now, that gets you to what? 38-43. On the Democratic side. On the Republican side, we've only got a couple here. We're going to include Missouri here. This is Josh Hawley. Again, same type of situation as you heard from the Democratic side. There's no reason Josh Hawley should lose this race. It is possible that his opponent may shoot a bunch of people or get shrapnel in people as he's doing campaign events. If you saw that video, one of the strangest things of all time, he actually basically got shrapnel embedded into a reporter when he was doing an event. Somehow, he's not down by 50 after that. Also, Florida. Florida's an interesting one. The polling there is close. Way too close for Florida. 3 points in a lot of these polls. But I still think
We're going to keep that as a lean Republican, even though you probably could have put that in the toss-up category with the way that's polling. It's just Florida has moved so much to the right. It's just hard to believe that he's not going to be able to hold on to that state. Hopefully, I don't eat my words on that one. Again, when you get into this middle category here, there's definitely room for misses. Out here, I feel really, really confident in the likely category. You get into the middle here, there could be misses, and they could be close. Okay, we've got a bunch of toss-up races, and these are races probably you've paid some attention to. Arizona is one. Texas is one. Nevada. Montana. Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska, the other Nebraska election, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. There are our nine toss-up states. Now, we're not going to cheat and leave a bunch of races in the toss-up column. There are some races in here I have a pretty strong opinion on. Others, I'd love to leave in the toss-up column if I want it to be exactly right, but we're going to make predictions today because the election's freaking tomorrow. What else are we going to do with a stupid chalkboard? Okay, so here we go. We'll start with Arizona. Arizona is the Kari Lake election going up against Ruben Gallego. Kari Lake has narrowed this race considerably. I would say 2 or 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I probably would have been maybe having... I think I may have even had Arizona over in the lean Democratic category in the last time we did this exercise. Moved into this into the toss-up category. She has closed this race. It would now not be shocking if Kari Lake were able to win this. However, I'm going to put Arizona in Kari Lake's seat, unfortunately going over to the Democrats and Ruben Gallego. Then we have Texas. Texas is Ted Cruz. Cruz going up against Colin Allred. Again, way too close for the state of Texas. Cruz is up by 3 or 4 points in a lot of the polls. There have been some that have showed it tied or maybe a 1 point difference. However, I think Ted Cruz hangs on here by the skin of his teeth and is able to get this one over to the Republican side for another seat for the Republicans. Next up, we have Nevada, Jackie Rosen, who has actually polled pretty darn well. And this is one of the reasons why I wound up taking Nevada over to the Trump side. It's really, really close, though I do think that she will wind up being victorious and winning this seat in a close election. Another one for the Democrats. Montana is a big one. Montana is John Tester versus Tim Sheehy. We had a last-minute poll showed this very, very close. One poll even had John Tester up. Sheehy had been leading for a while. It's tightened a little bit in the closing days, at least if you believe the polling. I don't think I do believe that last-minute polling, though. I'm going to take Montana, going to be a pickup for the Republicans, and slide it over to the Republican side. John Tester loses to Sheehy. Next up, we have Michigan. This is another one where Republicans seem to be competitive. They have narrowed the race again. In fact, almost all these races are better positions than Republicans had maybe a month or two ago. However, I don't think they're going to quite get there for Michigan. And I think Michigan in the presidential race and the Senate race is going to go over to Democrats. Next up, we have Wisconsin. Hovde has been, again, picking up, narrowing the margin. There are several polls that show this either with a lead for Hovde or a very, very close 1 or 2 point election, maybe even a tie. Tammy Baldwin, not the greatest candidate in the world, sort of an unremarkable senator. It's going to be really, really close. I'm going to go, unfortunately, to the Democrats here with this one. Would not be shocked if I missed that. That's another one I went back and forth on a bunch of times. That's kind of the one of the ones I would be least surprised if I missed on, honestly. Okay, next up is Nebraska number two. This is the race we've focused a lot on. We were one of the first people blabbing about this stupid election in Nebraska. This should be an easy one for Republicans. What are they going to elect a Democrat in Nebraska? Come on. Well, they didn't run a Democrat. They decided not to run a candidate at all in this race. And instead, an independent, Dan Osborne, certainly not picked because of their famous coach's last name, Tom Osborne, although there is no E on this particular Osborne. But they are not related. This is something you should know if you're in Nebraska. If you like Tom Osborne, Dan Osborne, not from the same family. They're not, you know, distant cousins or anything. This is a situation where they just ran someone with a familiar last name and called him an independent, even though he's a far left Democrat, getting millions and millions of dollars from George Soros organizations. This is embarrassing if Nebraska goes the wrong way on this. I don't think they will. Even though this is closer than it should have been, Nebraska goes over to the Republicans. Next up, we have two more seats to go here in the Senate. Pennsylvania, Dave McCormick going up against Bob Casey. We had McCormick on the radio show early today. You know, McCormick should be in the Senate. I think would have easily beat John Fetterman if he was the candidate last time. He tried for that seat, wound up losing in the primary in a close election to Dr. Oz, who then got beat relatively easily. I don't think, however, in this particular race, Casey's going to be able to be beaten. I think McCormick, even though he is very, very close, a lot of polls showing it very, very close. I did have Pennsylvania going to Donald Trump. Very rarely does the presidential race and a Senate race go the opposite directions. In this case, I'm going to give it a whirl and say McCormick unfortunately loses this seat, and this one goes to the Democrats. Finally, last one is Ohio, Bernie Moreno going up against Sherrod Brown. Ohio is a red state. Ohio has the J.D. Vance on the ticket. This is a state that they should win easily. However, Sherrod Brown is one of those Democrats that kind of fools people, right? It comes off as, oh, he's the sensible Democrat. Well, he's not a sensible Democrat. I think the people of Ohio figure that out and go with Bernie Moreno right over here. So that takes our leaners and changes them up quite a bit here, as you might have guessed. Instead, we go with 10 leaners for the Democrats, and they get those 10 seats. Republicans, on the other hand, get six of those toss-up and leaner races, and that gives us a final count of Democrats, 48 seats, Republicans, 52. Now, again, that's a result you'd probably like, honestly, if you're listening to this particular program. You like that Donald Trump got the win in our prediction. You like that the Republicans got the Senate. It's really close, though. I mean, any of these races, if you look over here, this Ohio race absolutely could go the opposite way. There's plenty of polling showing that these three races right here, Texas, Florida, and Nebraska, could go the other way. On the other hand, some of these races could push back to the Republicans. Definitely Pennsylvania, one of those. Wisconsin is one of those. Michigan, maybe. Nevada, maybe. Even Arizona's out there on the fringes of that. So we still have a question as to who controls the Senate, and I don't even know that we're going to know the answer to that tomorrow night. We will be here with you, trying to figure all this out. I will give you everything that we can as far as information, and we'll keep you up to date as to, like, kind of the scorecard as we go. I think that's one of the things that you need from your election coverage, not just the exact total of how many electoral votes are out there, but also what does it mean? Like, you know, if California is right around the corner for the Democrats, who cares if you're leading the electoral vote count? So we'll get into all that on election night. I'll tell you more about that coming up here in just a second. How much time do you spend thinking about worst-case scenarios? If you happen to work with Glenn Beck for 20-something years, probably a lot. Even if you happen to be a normal person, maybe that's something that you should be thinking about a little bit more. Because what would you do if your children needed a certain medication but couldn't get it? What if there's a supply shortage, or your order was on backup, or there's a weather emergency, or a terrorist attack, and you can't get to the pharmacy for whatever reason? There's something that you can do to ensure that you and your loved ones have medication on hand when it's needed. It's a solution that thousands of people have already discovered. It's called the Jace case, and it allows you to start stocking up on medication right now so you're prepared for whatever comes around the corner. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. This treats all the worst stuff that you could get. This is stuff that used to kill people a long time ago before these medications came about. But if you can't get access to them, it can kill you still. So don't let that happen. Jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. Enter the code STU at checkout, and you will get a discount on your order right now. So go to J-A-S-E, Jace.com. Use the code STU. Get your discount at checkout. It's the Jace case from Jace.com. If there was ever a time to become a Blaze TV subscriber, it is right now. We are offering our largest discount ever, $47 off. This is going to correspond to what we, you know, kind of all feel is the most important election that we've ever been through. So if you go to blazeelection.com/stu, blazeelection.com/stu, you get $47 off your subscription. You'll get immediate access to our library of exclusive content. You'll get real-time engagement with Blaze TV hosts. That'll be a lot of fun tomorrow night. And of course, it's all totally unfiltered. Go to blazeelection.com/stu. 2 right now. So tomorrow's show will be preempted by the election coverage, of course. We start, I believe, at 6 p.m. Eastern, so we're going to give you a giant chunk of coverage. Glenn will be there, basically everybody on Blaze TV, a bunch of people. Megyn Kelly is going to be coming on, a great group. And then I will be there calling the states for you, giving you the picture as it goes. It's going to be a lot of fun, very, very interesting, and hopefully it turns out okay. BlazeElection.com/stew.